If you would open up your Bibles, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 46 and 10. Psalms 46 and 10. Now, this is very important because we are in our series that we're talking about now, Ordinary People Experiencing Extraordinary Things. That's the everyday person experiencing, not just hearing about it, but literally experiencing extraordinary things this year. And this is why the Lord has set the tone for the church, because each one of us has the right to have all that God has for us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so we must begin with understanding, though, how to engage that process so we can have all those things God has for us. But I want you to write this title down. This is the takeaway I want you to walk away with today. And it's this: the ordinary become the extraordinary by making time with God. The ordinary become the extraordinary by making time with God. How many of you have said in your hearts, as well as I, man, I just don't have time. I'm so busy. There's so many things going on. There's so many things happening in my life, tragedy after tragedy. We say to ourselves, well, you know, I used to be on fire for God. It's hard for me to study the Bible. It's one of those things where I got to get excited about it before I can read it. So, you know, it's hard for me to get in the Word. Or we say, you know, listen, every time I read it, I start getting sleepy. That's because you read it right before you go to sleep. You done trained your body that when you read the Word, I always tell people, never study the Word when you're at your weakest. Study the Word when you're at your strongest. Because you don't want to read the Bible right after you've eaten a big old meal. You're sitting there, you got the kids off, you're like, okay, I'm good. And your eyes get a little dry. Let me read the Bible. No. You want to pick the time where you're the strongest, where you're the most alert. That time where you could say, between this hour and this hour. Now, for me, it's around 8, 9 o'clock. I'm wide awake. Okay. For some of you, it might be 6 in the morning, 3 in the morning. It might be 10 a.m. I don't care what your hour is, but decide, because the difference between an ordinary and the extraordinary man is a person who makes time for God. Listen to me. I want you to say it with me. Make time for God. Say it again. I will. Say it again, I will. Okay, now all of you who have Netflix, raise your hand. Oh, see, y'all trying to be slick. See, this is a hobbit hand. This is a human hand. Hobbit, human. All those who have Netflix, raise your hand. Human-like. Okay, keep it up. Now, I want y'all to look at all these people in this room. How many times these people went on a binge watch? That's when you sit in front of that TV and you start at the first episode and you go down to the last episode. Shame on you. I've done it too. I'm sorry. That's some good stuff, boy. But listen, in church, but listen. We can take hour after hour after hour after hour, and we will hold our bladder. And we got a weak bladder. And we will watch those TV programs until they're done. But if that bladder starts saying, in church, y'all see people shooting at the church. Do, 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 I had to go to the bathroom. Or you reading that Bible, that bladder says, hello, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Y'all know y'all want to do it. Do it with me. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. We want to watch television, and we won't move. But when it comes to the Word of God, we allow distractions always to come first. I need you to understand something. God will respond to you at the level of importance you put him. God will respond to you at the level of importance you put him. The scriptures say, he that is thirsty and hungry shall be filled. What that means is, if you're coming to the table and going, I'm supposed to do my devotion, and you're not hungry, you won't be fed. There's no need to feed you because you're just looking at the words. But if you're truly hungry, if you're truly thirsty, you're like, God, I need to see something. I need to know something. You got to show me something. Then I guarantee you, you will have a feast before God. The difference between power and no power is the amount of hunger you have in your heart. Oh, well, I'm busy. I got to go to work. I got to do this. I got the kids. I got that. I got this. I got that. And you start dancing with God like this. But God, I have things to do. And God is like, I'm not moving. If you want me, I'm here. I don't dance around you. Come on, somebody. God, when you call on God and we need him to move, he doesn't dance around us. You want me to bless you? Come get me. Woo-hoo! Woo! Miss me. No, 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 no. God says, you want me? I'm not going to let you miss me. Come on. Come on. Come on. That is how he operates. Moses knew his ways. But it's the children of Israel who only knew his acts. They saw what he did for them, but they never understood his heart. Church, I'm not going to let you walk out of here without understanding his heart. How many want to know God better? How many want to see the miracles happen? I want you to check your heart now. How many want to understand the word so that you can get a hold of it? How many want God to move in your family? Look at your neighbor and say, are you sure? Turn on the other side and said, I don't know about you, but are you sure? Because I'm going to challenge you today, the difference between the ordinary and extraordinary is how much time you make with God. Let me tell you, it's not based on a feeling. It'll be those days you don't feel like it. It'll be those days where everybody coming and trying to ask you something. It'll be all those days where your job calls and kept saying, well, hey, can you come in today? It'll be those days where your wife is going, looking her finest. Word woman, word woman. You're like, why now? Why now? That's why the Bible says if you're married, you've got to tell them what you're about to do. Hey, I'm about to go away for a little word and prayer, so don't do that again, please. That's distracting. It'll be at those times where your kids are crying for your attention when you feel like you have to cook something. Instead of saying, listen, this is my time with God. And nobody can interrupt this. When was the last time you set a time that all of heaven and earth can't break it? Now, I'm not asking you to be legalistic. We know things can happen, but it should be the exception and not the rule. You need, if you're serious, I want you to know how many bathroom toilet prayers there are in the world. That's the only time they pray. Because, hey, I ain't doing nothing else, so let me talk to God. Listen, you can talk to him in a better location. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We talk to him when it's convenient, not when it's inconvenient, not when it costs us something. See, discipleship is the root word discipline. It means you make up your mind and you set a pattern whether you feel like it or not. God is looking for serious people. He's looking for those who are not just going to church, but want the church to come alive in them. Not just good enough, want to just read about a testimony, but wants to be a testimony. It's possible. It's here. It's for you. It was designed for everyone in this church to experience the presence of God, the tangible presence of God in the earth. How many believe in holy water? How many believe water can be holy? How many believe it can't be? How many don't know? Okay. This is why we need Catalyst Life. This is why we're going to teach. I can pray over this water and sanctify it because of greater in me than he that is in the world. And I can then say this is holy water in Jesus' name and splash and baptize and all of this stuff, right? That's why you see Catholics do it. It's not having anything with Catholicism. It's the authority of the believer. That's why Paul did great miracles. He took a piece of his cloth, prayed over it, sent it over to people who were possessed with demons, and the demons came out when it came in contact with the cloth. Why can that happen? Because the more time you spend in God's presence, the more his presence rubs off on you. I can send my jacket. I can send my shoes. I can send this bottle of water and pray for it because when I'm in the anointing and the anointing's on me, it becomes tangible and I can send miracles wherever I want to go as long as I'm in his presence. I don't have to do a thing. I could send something and it will actually break something. Why? Because I'm in his presence. When I take time not to play, but to pray, and I'm in his anointing, then when he walks in, so does his power. To become extraordinary is to understand this principle that he never leaves himself behind. You need a healing, then you better sit down with the healer. You need a miracle, you better sit down with the miracle worker. You need a word, come on somebody. You better sit down with the word. Watch this. I want you to put up on the screen this simple verse. Psalms 46 and 10. Psalms 46 and 10. This is for every single person, no matter what your age is. Everyone read it with me. Stop. Say it again. Say it again. There is a benefit for being still. What's the benefit of being still? You will know that he is God. When you stop moving, everyone freeze. Can't even do it. Unfreeze. I'm gonna try again. Everybody, freeze. Can't do it. unfreeze. Now, some of y'all were still, and some of y'all couldn't help, but some of y'all were over there like, what is this man talking about? Listen, the scriptures say sometimes we don't know God because we never put ourselves in a situation where we are. Sit down with your word. Put your word in front of you and be still. There's a promise. This is what I call a gimme verse. It's a freebie. If you be still, you will know He is God. It's a freebie. It's a gimme verse. If you would just apply it, pick an hour with God. Pick a time during your day where you say, you know what? Maybe it's lunchtime. I'll take 15 minutes and I'm going to sit with God and I won't let anybody disturb it. And I just want to learn who you are. I'm going to begin reading Psalms. I'm going to begin reading Genesis. I'm going to begin reading Matthew, and I'm going to be still because I want to know you, God. I want to know you're real. Watch this. He said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, and I will be exalted in all the earth. Now, if you make time for God, you will know Him. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a problem. There were people who went to church or went to Bible study, and they know and heard the word, okay? I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. And this is the story that many of us have fallen into. But we're desperate for more. We're hungry for more than just what we've been through. We want an adventure. I don't know about you, but I can't stand being a Christian and not having fun and new experiences in God. What's the point? I might as well take a class at the college. I might as well take some, you know, I might as well take up botany. If I don't want anything to happen, then listen. But no. For Steve Yates, if you ain't real God, then I don't want to be a part of it. But if you're real, then I want to be a part of everything you do. I want to see what you see. I want to do what you do. I want to hear what you say. I want to be a part of your change in the earth. I need it. I'm not satisfied with just reading word. I want to show you what happened to the children of Israel because I want to warn you not to get stuck like this. Watch this. The children of Israel had been brought out of Egypt. They were taken out by a strong hand in God. God's hand was strong. 10 plagues happened. You had the locusts and the bloody rivers and the firstborn dying. And about 1 million people came out with Moses from Egypt. And when they were coming out of Egypt, they came to a place called the Red Sea. And Moses lifted his rod and the Red Sea parted and a great wind blew and they went across on dry ground. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle happened in their eyes. But the Bible says that when they got close to the promised land, they were so used to seeing God's hand that they forgot about God's heart. They saw the miracles, guys. They saw the splitting of the seas. They saw the destruction of Pharaoh. But when they got to the promised land and they looked in and saw the giants, because they didn't apply what they learned in the Old Testament. They were brought out with power. And many of us in our lives, we've had miracles happen in our individual lives. How many have had God move in your individual life? You have the miracles of the children of Israel. But when it comes to the next level, God's trying to take you to a whole nother place, a whole nother promise. You're so used to the miracles, you forget that you must always water your faith every day. If you aren't still and learning God, your faith can dry up right before your promise. I can't go off of my miracles from last year. I can't go off my healing from 2 years ago. I can't go off a testimony when I was a kid. Oh, yeah, we sought the Lord. Oh, yeah, we prayed and prayed. No, 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 no. The question is, do you seek the Lord? Do you pray and pray? Because the miracles come by faith, and that has to be in you now. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The children of Israel got up to the promised land, looked in, and they doubted God. After all those miracles, defeating giants, defeating armies, defeating false prophets, coming through the land, water, coming out of a rock, they get to it. But when Moses says, let's go capture the land, here's what happens. Hebrews recaptures the story. Let's look at Hebrews 4:2. Let's bring that up on the screen. Let's all read it together. Read. Okay, now watch this. God had preached the gospel to the children of Israel, just like he preached to us. He spoke to them of Jesus being the rock, Jesus being the fire, that you could trust that fire, and if you trust him, you'll be able to enter into anything. He told them the same gospel of having faith. All they had to do was believe it, but what happened? Put it up on the screen, please. Read. Say that again. Do you see what it says? It says, it wasn't mixed with faith in the King James Version. In other words, they heard it, but it was numb to them. And so they didn't mix it with faith. You can't have anything happen unless you mix it with faith. You can have the word. God says he can do abundantly above all I can think or ask. Yes, you can say that, but do you believe that? You have to mix it with faith. When was the last time you heard a word and said, got it? Oh, I believe it, God, for right now. I believe it for my life right now. You mix this, give me that thing, and you throw it in your situation, and you mix it by faith and say, God's going to give me something new. Woo, it's going to happen this time. Yes. Or do you let the word go, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I see that. Yeah. No, I knew that verse from the Bible. Yeah. But it doesn't help you. Faith makes you apply it to where you are. So watch this. It says it didn't mix with them because they didn't share the faith of those who listened to God. Go to the next verse. Watch this. For only we who believe can enter into his rest. Only if you believe can you enter into his rest. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I will give rest to your souls. This is what happens when we don't mix it, because we're not still. Young people, I want to say this, and I'll say this over and over. Never make the level of your faith based on the people around you. Listen to me, because if you base it on your coworkers, your church workers, the people you see, you will limit God. Because even though you may be a preacher, deacon, whatever, if my walk is off, it doesn't change God's word. You understand? You better take what he says as fact, and you mix it with your faith, and you will get the miracles you see. He doesn't break his word. He is faithful unto what he said he will do. If he says it, he will perform it. He says, my word cannot return unto me void. It means it can't come back to me empty-handed. But when I say it, it must come back with the thing I asked it to do. Do you understand? He says, listen, listen, I need an example. Okay, put your Bible down on there. Put your Bible on the seat. Come here. Okay. Stop right there. Word, get me my Bible. Get me that Bible. Give me that Bible you have. Boom. Now, act as if you don't know what that Bible is. Go get me that Bible. That word can't come back to me. Keep looking. You ain't done. The word can't return to me void, but it must accomplish the thing for which I sent it. Means it's got to come back with it. If it take 100 years, he ain't coming home empty-handed. If it take 1,000 years, he ain't coming home empty-handed. If it take 2,000 years, he ain't coming home, because he's the word, and the word must perform what it has to do. The word must perform what it must do before it can come back to me, because he knows better. Where's my Bible? Booyah. The same he gave to sons and daughters. If you sit still and learn this, the words you speak can't return back to you void. For the same spirit that was in him is in you. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Ghost dwells in you? So when you speak the word has to come back to you, not empty-handed, but got to have something in its hand to get back to you. And if it's not, then he has to go out there and make it happen. Do you understand what that means? When you know God and the presence is on you, if it wasn't in existence before, because you spoke it, that word will make it so that it can come back to you. I know what I'm talking about. Now I'm going to challenge a group of you. I want you to go to Matthew 7:7. Because I want to deal with this issue that people have. I've lost my fervor, my fire. I've lost my taste. I don't have the fire that I used to have. When I was a child, I sought the Lord with all my heart. But now, as a seasoned saint in God, I have lost my desire to study. So, it's because of that I'm not in the Word. Okay, let's deal with that. Matthew 7:7, would you read? Now, the scriptures say this, let God be true and every man a liar. The Bible says, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. So you, when you keep on keeping on, y'all didn't just hear what I said. When you keep on keeping on, you will get what you ask for. You can ask and ask, and that means you're getting closer every time you ask for your answer. But you got to keep on keeping on. You, when a person tells me I've lost my fire, no, you lost your keep on keeping on. You want to grow? Keep on keeping on. You got to keep talking to God. No, God, I asked you about this. I said I need it. God, I need you to come through. Until I see it, I'm not going to stop. So I'm just letting you know I need it, God. Now, it may not be the right time for you, so God will be silent. But here, you keep on keeping on. You keep on asking, and God will say, okay. Now, boom. And you go, there it is. Whoop. Can I deal with the intellectuals among us? It's not enough. See, that's for those people who've given up hope. Just keep on. Tell your neighbor, keep on keeping on. Tell your other side, he heard you the first time. So keep on keeping on. It becomes a point of you trust him enough that he heard you. And you can keep on asking without him getting mad at you. So keep on keeping on. But let me get to the intellectuals among us who say, I've studied that all my life. I'm good at that. Oh, that's old news to me. I've learned that since a child. What they don't understand, what did you do when you found it?
Yes.
See, God doesn't have to speak a new word to you. What'd you do with the one he gave you?
Jesus.
See, some are unsatisfied because it's not glorious enough. It's not fantastic enough. It's too simple. So when you say ask and it'll be given, what the answer you got didn't toot your horn enough. So we go, it ain't that. It can't be that easy. He gave you the answer.
Yes, yes.
You have to take the answer and mix it with faith so that it works for you.
Yes.
Too many people say, well, man, I've already learned all that stuff. And so, but God says, then you need to go back to being a baby again because you think you're in meat, but you're still drinking milk. Come on, somebody. Church, I'm telling you the truth. You cannot overlook the simple of the word and expect for something big in its stead. He wrote the word so that you can have it. And some of us were asking and we got the answer, but we don't like the answer. So we say it's got to be something else. And we start asking again. God! Is she the one? No. I didn't hear that. The devil is a liar. I cast you out of my mind, my spirit, my body. Oh, I almost fell for that one. God, is she the one? I said no. I gotta go fast. I'm in the flesh right now. I'm not hearing God right. Woo, glory. And then you go to friend who just as messed up as you are. Is they the one? I think they are. You think she the one? I think she is. Woo! You know what I've learned? Is that sometimes even before I get the question out, God gives me the answer. I say, God, what? No. Oh, never mind. He does. He does me like that. He won't even let me get the question out. The power of a believer is to accept what he says the first time. Listen, I need you to mix this with faith. I need you, because some of y'all are more prophetic than you will ever know. But because you doubt the simple word he gave you, you can't mix it with faith. So you'll never tell anybody when they need what you have. God, tell me what I can do to help them. And he says, tell them to lay hands right above their heart. God, that sounds too simple. God, tell me what I can do to help them. Lay your hand right above the heart. But God, God, help me to understand you better. God says, you know what? Forget it. It happens like that. Because we want God to be, we want to know that we know, then you don't need faith. Faith means you trust him the first time you heard it. Ask, seek, and knock, and mix it with faith, and you will have it. Some people say this to me. Man, it's hard to study. Because I don't know, reading the text is hard. You read the King James, man, I don't understand what it's saying. Okay? Well, let me just help some of you. First of all, Jesus said, this gospel is to go into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the world. So he understood that this word was to be translated for everybody. We got caught up on the 1916 version of King James. Most of us was raised on the 1916 version of King James Bible, or the 1672 version. And our church had it, we had it, we still use it, we study it, and we can't understand it. But it was translated for the common man of that day. You don't live in 1611. You don't talk like 1611. So find a Bible that's translated in your everyday language, which is like the NLT, NIV, NASB. You can pick a Bible. It's all coming from the same manuscripts, the originals. So God doesn't want you to struggle with one version of the Bible and say, I can't. No, no, no. It was meant for you to understand. The gospel was meant to be translated for every people, for every age. So find a Bible that fits. And then begin to read to know what authority and power and might God has given you. It makes no difference. You love King James? Go for it. But don't get caught up in those churches who say, if it ain't King James, it ain't the Bible. Hold on. The Bible says this very clearly. I came not to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, enticing words, dictation, dialect. I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. In other words, you got a Bible and then you got power. He goes, listen, I'm not trying to tweak your ear with English or King James or anything. If it doesn't have power, it ain't the word of God. I came with power to prove what I say in the word of God. Ah, y'all missing it. Y'all, well, you talking about King James version of the Bible wrong? No, listen to me. Paul said, listen, it ain't based on how I talk. Either what I say comes with power or it's not. So don't argue with me about, well, if it ain't in the Hebrew, then you don't know what it means. No, if I say it and it comes to pass, then it don't have to be in Hebrew for me to know God backs up that word. I want to see saints with power. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. I want to see saints with power. I want to see saints with power. Heal the sick. Cast out devils. People will know it's God. Then show them the word. But if you don't have time with God, you're not still with him. You'll be a person pushing words, not power. Come on, somebody. Don't be a word pusher. Be a power pusher. So you can knock out diseases, knock out addictions, knock out discord, knock out the devil, knock out evil. Stand for justice. The Bible says that the signs come to confirm the word. That means you got to have word, but the word ought to have power. Man, I'm up here sweating for y'all. God dog it. I am trying to get across to the church today that Paul says, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power. That's your faith will not rest in man, but in the spirit of God, the power of God. Because men will always have nice words. But you know the difference between a real man of God and a good preacher, just a charismatic preacher? Check the one that has the power. He may not even be able to preach. Come on, y'all. Some of the most powerful men I've ever met are terrible preachers. They look like, they walk in, hello, everybody. My name is Preacher Johnson. I'm just here to talk to you today a little bit about Jesus. And you're going, what in the world? I just want you to know that Jesus loves you, and he just loves you to life, and Jesus is just there for you. And you're going, man, I done wasted my time. And he goes, so now let me show you, Lord, something just to prove that Jesus is. I'm going to pray. If you're blind in one eye, if you got a leg that ain't there, come on now. I'm going to stretch it out so you can walk on two legs in Jesus' name. Boom! And then, woo! Woo! God! See, God will fool you. Don't look on the outer appearance of a man. You better look at a man's heart. I met preachers that could preach your socks off. You stand up, your socks over there waving the hand like this. They can preach. Zero power. No authority with God nor with men. And God said that he will take you from your dirty, dirty down dog lifestyle and take you up to the mountaintop, and he will show you, he'll show you the glory. That's right. I need a runner. I need a runner. Glory! Woo! Woo! Glory! Woo! Woo! Now, if you would, take out $1,000 a piece. Throw it right here on the altar. Glory! Give me a good old boy with power every day of the week. And you know how they used to do it? I feel a power. The power. P-O-W-B-E-R. The power. Be still and know that he is God. Be still. This isn't a preacher's invitation. This is a believer benefit. Be still.